It's Tuesday, May the 14th, 2024, and this is Narrative Wars. Coming up in today's show, President Trump shatters crowd records in a deep blue state on Mother's Day weekend. And Ron DeSantis shuts down anti-Semitism at University of Florida. Finally, European farmers continue to push back against the EU and the World Health Organization totalitarian policies. These stories and more in today's edition of Narrative Wars. I'm your host, Dr. Jeffrey K. Lyons, and you don't want to miss this.
We the people are sick and tired.
Let's peel back the curtain of confusion to shed light upon the mainstream media madness. And now, Narrative Wars with your host, Jeffrey K. Lyons.
We the people are sick and tired. So tired.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, if you're interested in following this program, I have an exciting announcement to make. Yep. Yeah, there's an exciting announcement out there, and we're making it right now as I speak. We here at Narrative Wars have just rolled out a new landing page site that you can access on all of your devices. Just type www.jeffreyklyons.com into your browser. In fact, you don't even need to put in the www, just jeffreyklyons.com. That's all you need. And again, that's jeffreyklyons.com with a Y for Lyons. Once you're there, you just click the buttons to access all of our content for both podcasts and social media. And as we add new content, we're going to put new links on the same website. So how easy is that? Now, our first story regarding President Trump's rally in New Jersey this past Mother's Day weekend. Critics of President Biden are lambasting his beach vacation in Delaware, while contrasting the Mother's Day weekend getaway to former President Trump's massive rally in the historically blue state of New Jersey on Saturday. Let's take a listen to a few clips from President Trump's speech in Wildwood, New Jersey, before a sea of 80 to 100,000 people. This is from Fox News, and it's 51 seconds. Let's listen to this. This is cut number one.
We're going to win the state of New Jersey. Got a great group of people with us, an incredible group of people.
It was truly stunning. Given that I've grown up in New Jersey, knowing that this is a state that hasn't gone blue for a Republican presidential candidate since 1988. Think about that, 36 years ago. Lisa Fagan is the spokesperson for Wildwood, New Jersey. She's now saying that more than 100,000 people attended. And you look at the video, it's just endless. And when you were there, you couldn't see all the way to the back. So this is a state, again, Joe Biden won by 16 points in 2020. And the fact that he's able to draw this sort of crowd truly is a testament to the fact that the momentum is behind Donald Trump. The energy is behind Donald Trump right now, even in states where he wasn't competitive in 2020. Yeah.
So a couple observations here. Now, Trump was down in New Jersey about 16 points in the 2020 presidential election. But today, as we speak, Trump is only down about 8 points in the polls. So he has cut that in half from 16 down in 2020 to 8 currently. And even the New York Times recently admitted that, quote, Trump is rallying in New Jersey. Well, according to the publication The Guardian, and this is May 13, 2024, and again, all the links are in the show notes if you want to go deeper. Donald Trump leads Joe Biden in 5 crucial battleground states. And we're less than 6 months out from the election day. The surveys from the New York Times, the Philadelphia Inquirer, and Siena College put former President Trump up in Pennsylvania by 3 points, Arizona by 7, Michigan by 7, and Georgia by 10. Finally, Nevada, 12. Now, Trump endorsed Kristi Serrano Glasner for the United States Senate. And according to the New Jersey Globe, this is what she said regarding the Trump endorsement. Quote, "I gratefully accept President Trump's endorsement, and I look forward to serving as his steadfast ally in Washington and working hand in hand with him to drain the swamp and make America great again." And that was a statement by Serrano Glasner. She continues, "New Jersey deserves better than the corrupt political establishment that gave us Gold Bob Bob Menendez, and America deserves greater than the unmitigated disaster of the Biden regime." So, you know, why is Trump going to New Jersey? Well, clearly he is gaining. Yes, there is the possibility that he could take New Jersey. We heard in that earlier piece that it hasn't been since the 1980s when a Republican has taken New Jersey. But there's another reason in play here. There's a senator, Bob Menendez, who is in major trouble. There's all sorts of investigations regarding Gold Bar Bob. And it's tough to say. Try to say that 10 times quickly. The point is, Bob had all this cash and gold in his apartment, and there's all sorts of shady things going on with him. He's under investigation. So he's weak. And Trump understands that even if he doesn't win New Jersey, he needs to have the Senate move to Republican in order for him to enact his agenda. And so it's worth it for him to go to New Jersey to speak to this huge crowd of 80 to 100,000 people, and also to endorse Kristi Serrano Glasner, who's running Republican, running against Bob Menendez. So it was a very smart move on his part. Now, here is a follow-up article. This is Fox 5 New York, May 11, 2024. Trump rallies mega crowd of approximately 100,000 at Jersey Shore. Now, this was in Wildwood, New Jersey. And so it's located about 150 miles south of New York City, approximately. Lisa Fagan, spokesperson for the city of Wildwood, told the Associated Press that she estimated the crowd represented between 80,000 and 100,000 attendees, based off her own observations. The beachfront gathering, the article continues, described by Representative Jeff Van Drew, Republican, New Jersey, as the largest political gathering in the history of the state of New Jersey. So, listen, this is part of the Trump strategy. Go big. Go so big that they cannot cheat. And this is what we are seeing. Folks, this is better than any other reality TV show, because it is reality. This is what's happening. You know, people were camping out in order to see Trump 24 hours earlier. They were camping out and they were happy. They were elated. He's like a rock star. And I think I've mentioned this in past shows. I've camped out in the past. My goodness, I camped out many, many, many years ago to go see a certain popular singer that plays piano, whose name will go unmentioned. But it was a great concert. The point is, who camps out overnight to go see a political candidate? Yeah, I don't remember this happening in my lifetime. Crowds of 80 to 100,000. This broke all records in the state of New Jersey. Trump is a rock star. And so we're witnessing history in the making right before our eyes. I urge any of you out there, if you are close enough to go to a Trump rally, go yourself. You know, I saw some of these people that attended the rally, and they're happy. They're thrilled to be there. And one person said, you know, what if, or one interviewer said, what if you don't get in? He says, well, that's okay. I'm just glad to be here. I support Trump. You know, finishing from the article, here's a quote. The everyday American people are 100% behind him, meaning Trump, said Doreen O'Neill, 62-year-old nurse from Philadelphia. So keep in mind, this rally was in New Jersey. She traveled from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, to see Trump and to hear him speak at the rally. Quote, they have to cheat and smear him and humiliate him in that courtroom every single day. Coming up next, how was the red state of Florida able to quickly and efficiently remove the anti-Semitic protesters off the campus of the University of Florida? Well, let's take a listen to this piece from Fox 13 in Tampa Bay, Florida, with Governor Ron DeSantis. He's speaking at the campus of the University of Florida, and with him are the Florida Chancellor, Ray Rodriguez, and Florida Department of Highway Safety and Motor Vehicles Director, Dave Kerner. Let's take a listen to this piece, cut to A. This is 39 seconds.
It's throughout the rest of the country where this has kind of become a common occurrence. We don't do that here in the state of Florida. And so they did have an encampment, and it lasted about a few minutes. And so I want to thank the university here, as well as all of our state universities, for ensuring that we're going to maintain order in the state of Florida. You do not have a right to commandeer property. You don't have a right to go take over parts of the university. You don't have a right to go after other students based on their ethnicity. And we're going to ensure that that's upheld in the state of Florida.
Now, this speech, again, was Ron DeSantis. He was at the University of Florida, at one of the campi of the University of Florida. And he, again, had Chancellor Ray Rodriguez with him. That's the chancellor of the University System of Florida. And the Department of Highway Safety and Motor Vehicles Director, Dave Kerner. Clearly, he was signaling to the public that the University of Florida system is not going to stand for this activist violence, this activist pro-Hamas violence on the campus, and talk of genocide from anti-Semitic protesters. Second, Dave Kerner, director of Department of Highway Safety and Motor Vehicles, he was there. And why was he there? Because he was directed by the governor to arrest people that were blocking roads, people that are trying to protest and inhibit vehicles on the roads and other areas. And so here's what DeSantis said. They had an encampment and it lasted a few minutes. So why do these protests get so out of hand at Columbia University, at UCLA, Portland State? The reason is because they let these people set up their tents. They just stand around the university administrators, the faculty members on the important committees like student safety. They let these people set up. And as they set up, they get hardened. What do I mean by that? Well, they bring in all sorts of paraphernalia in order to make it difficult to remove these people. And DeSantis said, what? It lasted just a few minutes. The moment they tried to set up their tents, they arrested people, they broke down those tents, and they hauled the stuff off. You know, I saw some video from the West Coast, some of these universities like Portland State, UCLA. And in order to break down these encampments on these university campi where they allowed the protesters to settle in. They had to bring in huge dumpsters and throw stuff into the dumpsters and just throw things away. So what do you do to stop that? Well, you just don't let them come in the first place. The moment they try to set up, you arrest them, you break it down, and you say no. And this is what DeSantis said in his speech. He said, you do not have the right to commandeer property and take over parts of the university. Well, I like that. Great job. They don't have the right to take over the university and commandeer property. No, no, they really don't. Here's a piece, WFSU News, Tallahassee, Florida, May 8th, 2024. And it's also talking about the news conference, the one that we heard the soundbite from. 9 people were arrested in April at a protest at the University of Florida, 3 others at the University of South Florida in Tampa. And as of Wednesday, when this piece came out, again, this came out May 8th, as of Wednesday, 24 students have been arrested at 3 different Florida universities. So arrest them quickly, clear them off the campus quickly, make a presence known of enforcement, and that shuts it down. Here's a statement by University of Florida president. Too much of higher education has been captured by a lot of nonsense over the course of the last weeks. And that's not going to happen at the University of Florida. So we're going to listen to another bit of the speech. This is only 1 minute and 3 seconds. But in this next soundbite from the same speech at the University of Florida, Governor Ron DeSantis, he pivots and he addresses the violence at elite universities around the country. Let's take a listen to this. This is Cut 2B. And it's 1 minute and 3 seconds.
Now, if you look around the country, you have a lot of elite colleges and universities that have allowed themselves to become overrun with encampments, graffiti, as well as a lot of really nasty anti-Semitism. At Columbia, pro-Hamas activists stormed buildings, took cleaning staff hostage, and destroyed iconic academic halls. At UCLA, Jewish students were barred from entering buildings on campus by pro-Hamas activists. At Portland State, the library was taken over and subsequently trashed by vagrants who weren't even students of the university to begin with. And we see some of the chants that are done at these universities, such as from the river to the sea. But when you're talking about from the river to the sea, you're essentially saying you want a second Holocaust, that you want to wipe Israel off the map. And that's what Hamas stands for. That's why Hamas perpetrated the October 7th attack.
Couple comments here. DeSantis talks about anti-Semitism riots around the country at a number of elite universities. And he mentions this. He said they have allowed themselves to be overrun with the encampments. And they've allowed the destruction of school property. And that's the whole point, is that you have to shut this down before the cancer even takes root, before they set up hundreds of tents and bring in all sorts of paraphernalia to resist and to remain camped. You know, they're going to bring in food. They're going to bring in the basic necessities of life in order to stay there for an extended period of time. Just clear it out. Don't allow it. He mentions pro-Hamas activists at a number of universities, Columbia University, UCLA. We've talked about those universities on prior podcasts with Narrative Wars, Portland State University. And he mentions non-students taking over the university. Even at one campus, they took cleaning staff as hostages. Heck, these are people just trying to do their jobs, and they take them as hostages. This is just out of control, and it did not happen at the University of Florida. And finally, he mentions that chant, from the river to the sea, and I think there's a lot of naive college students that have no idea what that really means. It's calling for a second Holocaust. This is what DeSantis points out. They want to wipe these people out. They want to drive them into the sea, which would be the Mediterranean. They want to drive them into the sea, and that's why Hamas perpetuated the October 7 attack. So again, we celebrate the policies in the state of Florida. They're not putting up with this nonsense, and really, universities across the United States of America should take note of what Florida is doing. This is the correct way to deal with anti-Semitism and violent speech and violent actions and destruction of school property at a large institutional university. Ladies and gentlemen, if you found value in this program, please share it with one or two like-minded friends. The easiest way to do this is to tell them to go to jeffreyklyons.com, and you're going to find all the links to podcasts and social media for this program when you go to that site. Also, please 5-star rate and comment. Once you have found this program, Jeffrey K. Lyons Narrative Wars, once you've found this program and you're listening to it on your favorite podcasting app. Once again, Jeffrey K. Lyons Narrative War is on Apple, Spotify, Amazon Music, iHeartRadio, and many more of your favorite podcasting apps. Coming up next, Europe's farmers continue to push back against one world government in the form of the EU, WHO, and climate activism. Let's take a listen to this piece from Intro Europe. This is cut number 3, and it's 44 seconds.
Europe's farmers are revolting. Across Europe, they're blocking roads, driving their tractors into cities, and dumping manure on government buildings. What started off in the Netherlands and Poland has spread to other European countries, where farmers have demonstrated their anger against the European Green Deal's environmental rules, inflation, cheap imports from Ukraine, and the prospect of imports from South America.
For a small farmer, this threatens completely their business model.
But it's not only about the new legislation. Farmers are faced with a series of headwinds that threaten their ability to stay in business and poses a severe question on the ability of the EU's agricultural model to stay competitive and keep feeding its people. So why are Europe's farmers so mad?
So why are the farmers of Europe so mad? Good question. European farmers have been revolting against radical green policies for years. And it's important to keep this story in mind because the world's food supply is interconnected. What happens in Europe will affect American citizens. Now, I know this story has been kind of flying under the radar, and part of the way that this works, and we flag this here on Narrative Wars, is that they hold up the lamestream media, the mockingbird media. They hold up certain stories and they wallpaper those stories across all the lamestream media outlets in order to advance or not criticize something else going on around the world. And what's been happening around the world is that there is a, I hate to say it, it's a conspiracy. And we're going to unfold it here. Conspiracy just means that more than two people, or in this case, organizations or nations, have got together and they've planned to take over something, to impose a policy upon the citizens of various nations without even allowing those citizens to vote. So this is tyranny. And this revolt, the farmer revolt in Europe, it started a number of years ago in Netherlands and Poland. It spread throughout Europe. Now, why in the Netherlands? Because the Netherlands is extremely efficient in terms of farming, and they feed a huge amount of people and export all over the world. So yeah, they want to make Netherlands an example, and they want to destroy the farming industry and take it over. You doubt me? Let's continue. These farmers are fighting to stay in business. So why are Europe's farmers so mad? Because they're trying to keep their businesses, their family businesses, and many of these farmers have had these businesses for generations and generations in the family. Associated Press, April 18, 2024. Frustrated farmers are rebelling against EU rules. So this is really interesting because Associated Press, they're part of the Mockingbird Media. They frame this. I mean, I hesitated reading the fake headline. They frame this as the far right. They're stoking the flames. No, it's not the far right. What if you had a business? What if you had a farm? Just think about this. And you've inherited from your father, and your grandfather started it, and maybe your grandfather's father started it. And now the government is imposing rules that are making it almost impossible to stay in business. They want to drive you out of business, and it's become very clear because of certain environmental restrictions. You know, they want you to get rid of your cows because they make too many flatulets, which are, you know, causing global warming. Of course, there is no cause and effect there. It's just nonsense. But you're a dairy farmer. So if you get rid of your dairy cows, you're out of business. You know, that's just one very simple example. Anderen, Netherlands, Associated Press. And here's a story about a farmer, and his name is Ubels. And he says he's being threatened by cheap imports coming in from outside. The article mentions 27 nation European Union, from Finland to Greece, Poland to Ireland. Farmers are discontent and there's gathering momentum. And so Ubels is just one example. He's featured in this article, and he is in charge of the Farmers Defense Force. And they want to bring 100,000 people to the European Union capital to protest this movement. So here's what Ubels has to say. "It's time that we fight back," said Ubels. "We're done being quiet, listening, and doing what we are told." The FDF, that is the Farmers Defense Force, puts it more ominously on the website, "Our confidence in the rule of law is wavering." Here's another follow-up piece, May 13, 2024. The WHO, that's the World Health Organization, they should call it the World Harm Organization, they moved to seize control of the, wait for it, they moved to seize control of the global food supply. You know, when tyrants control the food, then that's power. And this is exactly what the World Health Organization wants to do. It's all in writing. This is not a secret. It's all in writing. And I'll put the link in the show notes, WHO Global Strategy for Food Safety, 2022 to 2030. So they're not hiding any of this, but we're caught up in the United States with other things. Yes, the presidential election is extremely important. Trump needs to win. That is extremely important. But we also should keep an eye on this. Why? Well, because the CDC is involved in all of this. The United States is involved in all of this. The WHO, the United Nations Health Agency, is pushing to establish an alliance that will allow the unelected organization to monitor and control the food supply of sovereign nations around the world. Folks, this is a huge story. Last week, the WHO, Alliance for Food Safety, concluded its first meeting, where bureaucrats laid out plans for establishing global governance of the food supply. These people are insane. These people are megalomaniacs. These people are sociopaths. They want to control the world's food supply, and this is how they plan, among other things, this is how they are planning to rule the world. The article continues, globalists convene for the meeting to discuss the implementation of, quote, WHO Global Strategy for Food Safety, 2022-2030. So they always couch evil in benign terms. They're calling it food safety. Safe for who? Safe for the elites that get to eat the food. For everyone else, they get to starve. According to the WHO and its allies, controlling the food supply for the general public is essential for fighting climate change. Oh, there it is again. And it's essential to tackle the next pandemic, the next plandemic. So this is it. Scare the world's population with the false story of climate change and scare the world's population with the thought of another plandemic. And what is the solution? Well, we're going to control your food supply and then you'll be completely helpless and the tyranny will be in place. It's all being done under a plan called One Health. It sounds a lot like one world government, doesn't it? One Health. I'm not making this stuff up, folks. I'm reading it right out of the article. Links are in the show notes and you can look it up. This is, none of this is a secret. WHO Global Strategy for Food Safety 2022-2030 Executive Summary, World Health Organization 2022. So this is out there, but people don't talk about it. We just go on with our lives. It will also control how the food will be produced, managed, inspected. It's all in the One Health plan. The meeting was organized in collaboration with the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. There it is, the CDC. They're in on it. Folks, the people that are in charge of our nation, they don't love America. They don't believe in making America great again. They want to destroy America, and they want to destroy our constitutional rights, and they want to make America subservient to these unelected megalomaniacs at the WHO, the World Economic Forum. The article continues, it was planned that the implementation of the strategy take place over 8 years from 2022 to 2030. Now, we keep hearing this date, 2030, over and over. So they keep putting it out, target dates. And if 2030, it doesn't happen, they'll push it out to 2040, to 2050. But they'll keep targeting a time to implement these evil strategies. I mean, this sounds like a Hollywood movie, but it's not. It's called the Alliance for Food Safety, and it's being put together by the WHO. One is the prevention of diseases. What do we need that for? We've already got, in the United States of America, we've got government officials in charge of certifying that food is healthy. We've got inspectors in every state. We don't need this nonsense. We don't need these sustainable developmental goals. We don't need the WHO global strategy for food tyranny. So all of this goes back to the United Nations Agenda 21. And then it was updated as Agenda 2030. It's not going to stop. According to the executive summary, quote, the strategy recognizes that the safety of food is closely linked to the health of animals, plants, and the environment within which it is produced, unquote. So, folks, be aware, push back, tell people that you know about this, and contact your congressmen, your representatives, your senators, and tell them you don't want the CDC involved in ceding the sovereignty of the United States of America over to the United Nations and the WHO. Tell them to reject the One Health plan and this WHO Global Strategy for Food Safety 2022-2030. We don't need it. Well, if you remember, last week reported on the following story. Massachusetts. The New York Times reported on May the 6th article, MIT will no longer require diversity statements for hiring faculty. This week, we have more good news. Yeah, let's celebrate good news. Okay, we always want to go out with a positive here. That's what we do here at Narrative Wars. Raleigh, North Carolina. As North Carolina's public university system considers a vote on changing its diversity policy. Oh, this is great. NBC News, May 13th, 2024. They're voting on cutting funding for diversity programs in next year's budget. And why? Well, because the University of North Carolina Chapel Hill Board of Trustees approved a change that would divert $2.3 million of diversity funding to go toward public safety and policing. So there's a definite trend going on. And as a quick teaser, we're going to dig into this deeper this coming Thursday. But that's all we have for today's program, folks. Thank you for joining us, ladies and gentlemen. America shall remain the land of the free and the home of the brave, a place where we can still proclaim liberty throughout the land. And that's a comforting thought. Until next time, for Narrative Wars, I'm your host, Dr. Jeffrey K. Lyons.
We the people are sick and tired. So tired.